Ram Sikati Payashama Mata Maha Kritam Vatsa Na Tripto Vishayesham Vayasa Bhavadiyena Ramse Kati Payashamaha. Please chant. So we will do the word for word. Mata Maha Kritam. Given by your maternal grandfather, Sukracharya. Vatsa, my dear son, na, not, triptaha, satisfied, vishayeshu, in sex life, sense gratification. Aham, I am. Vyavasa, Vyasa, my, by age. Bhavadiyena, of your good self. Ramshe, I shall enjoy sex life. Katipayaha, for a few. Samaha, years. Translation. My dear son, I am not yet satisfied in my sexual desires, but if you are kind to me, you can take the old age given by your maternal grandfather, and I may take your youth, so that I may enjoy life for a few years more. Purport. This is the nature of lusty desires. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said, Kamais taister rita jnana. When one is too attached to sense gratification, he actually loses his sense. The word rita jnana refers to one who has lost his sense. Here is an example. The father shamelessly asked his son to exchange youth for old age. Of course, the entire world is under this illusion. Therefore, it is said that everyone is pramata, or exclusively mad. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. When one becomes almost like a madman, he indulges in sex and sense gratification. Sex and sense gratification can be controlled, however, and one achieves perfection when one has no desires for sex. This is possible only when one is fully Krishna conscious. Yada vadi mama cheta Krishna pararavinde nava nava rasa daman yud Yatam rantum ashit. Tada vadi bata nara sangame smaryamane bhavati mukta vikara shushtu nishti vanamcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing every new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit as a thought and my lips curl with distaste. So there is no mention as to where this verse came from. Does anyone know? Okay, that's right. Jamunacharya. So just to make sure everyone knows that. Very popular verse. Sexual desire can be stopped only when one is fully Krishna conscious and not otherwise. As long as one has desires for sex, one must change his body and transmigrate from one body to another to enjoy sex in different species or forms. Although the form may differ, the business of sex is the same. Therefore, it is said, puna punas charvitam charvananam. Those who are very much attached to sex transmigrate from one body to another. It's the same business of chewing food. Tasting sex enjoyment as a dog, sex enjoyment as a hog, sex enjoyment as a demigod, and so on. Om Gyanam Timandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Mutamiyena Tasmai Shudra Vimha So here this the story continues of King Yati, and sometimes we would wonder why such an episode is in the Bhagavatam. Well, spiritual life consists of very sane practices and culture, and the Bhagavatam describes the loving story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we learn that there are many itihasas or Vedic histories, unlimited amounts, that are out there in Vedic times, but only a few made it to the Bhagavatam to be mentioned here. So out of those few, here is one story and here is one description which is, we can say, from a base point of view, can be pretty disgusting. Discussing in a spiritual atmosphere, discussing these topics of a king who supposedly has a very important role in our Vedic tradition. And we understand, as we'll see a little further down here, that he produced a child such as Yadu, who would become the head of the Yadu dynasty, where Lord Krishna appeared. So anyway, here in our discussion, we are discussing religious principles. And there are different aspects that are being discussed in this particular text here. We're talking about sexual desires. And it also talks about lusty desires. And we know that as a king, that make it into the pages of the Bhagavatam, that there is something religious about having this principle laying down here. So if you look into our Vedic tradition, there are many, many principles of religion, very, very vast and thus very complicated principles of religion. And in this instance, King Yati got caught in two aspects of the principles of religion here. One, that it's a principle of religion in the Vedic history that when he was approached by Sarmista to be satisfied, it is the duty of a Kshatriya, of a king, to satisfy her and give her a child. On the other hand, he had a promise to his father-in-law, Sukracharya, to not to have her share his bed. So that's also religious. So he's caught between the two, the result of which he was cursed, and here he was cursed with old age. So, as is described, it's all the motive behind these messages was one, what we can term as material. Because Yayati was thinking that if I satisfy Sukracharya, then a lot of blessings would come, a lot of opulence would be there. And Sukracharya is also thinking that if I make a compromise, then my daughter can enjoy. So these compromises and these situations are there. So in this particular verse, we talked about sex life in particular. And we saw that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna laid down so many different principles of religion. He discussed from the beginning. He started with different principles he was teaching. The system of religion, he's teaching culture, and he was explaining. And he also describes himself that I am sex life according to religious principles. So, and we find that Srila Prabhupada, he gave us regulative principles. He talked about, he gave us no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, but he didn't say no sex life. He said no illicit sex. So these four principles are there, and there are many places where they are described, and so Krishna describes that also in Bhagavad Gita and many other places. He talks about religious practice and all these different cultures. As you go along in the Bhagavad Gita, from one to the next, all different standards of religion is being described. And we find in Vedic histories, there are all these different cultures, or there are so many histories, so many religious practices. And not only in our Krishna consciousness movement, but you find throughout the world, there are so many different religious practices that are going on. So these practices are there so that a cultured life can be brought about. But it doesn't necessarily bring about spiritual life. So there's a difference there between religious practice and cultural practice. So even though, like Lord Krishna, he talks about all these different religions, all these different religious practices, and he goes along towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, he concluded 1866, Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So he said, give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. He describes that. So sometimes we wonder that why, and from the very beginning, he describes all these different religious practices. And then at the end, he said, now give up all these religious practices and surrender unto me. So is it something conflicting? Is it something that we have to question? Why is that there? And Srila Prabhupada propagated Bhagavad Gita as it is. He gave us all this knowledge, he gave us Bhagavatam. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions here in his purport that sex and sense gratification can be controlled. However, and one achieves perfection when one has no desires for sex. This is possible only when one is fully Krishna conscious. So we find that, Lord Krishna describes sex life as being, if performed according to religious principles, then that's okay. But then there is a platform that brings us to, that helps, along with so many other religious practices as being described within the Bhagavatam, within Bhagavad Gita, within our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, within the Vedic culture. There's so much there are all these different religious practices and that are there to help us to come to a standard whereby spiritual life can be practiced fully. So there is a difference between religious practices and spiritual practices. We find there are many, many different types of religious practices throughout the world. And if you check in the book dictionary of the word religion, is one that has a beginning, has an end, and can change. But spiritual practice doesn't have that. Spiritual practice, there's no beginning, there's no end, and it does not change. So that marks a huge difference between these two, which on many, many, many times we can get confused between a religious practice and a spiritual practice. We can actually mix the two, and instead of engaging in one, we engage in the other. So that's all. Like in Bhagavad Gita, we also have all these different dharmas are described. Dharma, dharma, swadharma, upadharma. There's so many different types of dharmas. So whilst these, like these story that we are reading here in Bhagavatam, whilst these practices brings us to a cultural level, for one thing, for us here now, it's not possible to practice what we're reading here in like what, how these kings used to live and in Vedic times. That's one. On the other hand, these brings us to a level so that we can get a higher taste and we can understand. So here, Srila Prabhupada, as we understand that the Guru to us is even more important than Krishna, because he gives and he can show us and he can stay here and gives us the cutting edge technology and make sure that we practice the right standard. So Krishna speaks here, and the Lord gives so many Vedic scriptures, but the Guru, he implements that, and he implements that in a very, very strong way. So here, Srila Prabhupada talks very clearly here that this business of sex desire has to be given up. And for us to really make advancement in spiritual life, for us to become fully Krishna conscious. I remember when I was a brahmachari, I used to like reading these parts of the Bhagavatam. That was very nice. But afterwards, when I changed ashram, then I tried to forget them somewhat, because I'm thinking, well, okay, now I'm in a different situation. So here we have situations whereby, and we have these purports where Srila Prabhupada is actually cutting into these principles and give us a very clear understanding. So I have this verse here from the fourth canto, chapter 25, text 62, which I term as Prabhupada's atomic bomb. Prabhupada drops the atomic bomb in this regard. So this is a story of King Puranjan. And so it's 4:25:62. This is the second paragraph here. It says, on the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. This is what is meant by the order of sannyas, the renounced order. Before taking sannyas, or completely renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. And this is the part. Sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same. But through illicit sex, one becomes more and more captivated. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. This can be done. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life becomes very easy. So here, from our regulative principles, you know, one of our regulative principles is to avoid illicit sex. But here Srila Prabhupada make it very clear that licit or illicit is practically the same. So this is actually, for me, it's of great importance to understand these subject matters, to understand what Srila Prabhupada expects of us and what standard we have to come to possess a spiritual consciousness. So whilst we have our regulative principles, then Prabhupada dropped this atomic bomb here, that whether it's licit or illicit, it's practically the same. And he described that through regulating one's sex life, he says, there is a chance. He didn't say, well, it's guaranteed, that there is a chance that one may eventually be able to. So this is very important for us to understand that these subject matters and the standard that we're having within our Krishna consciousness movement, to understand the deeper meaning of it and how it affects us, not only philosophically, but it affects us physically, mentally, biologically also, and to help us to come to a higher standard. So these subject matters that are here in the Bhagavatam, even though sometimes if pulled out of context, one may question as to why these topics are there. But from Srila Prabhupada's purports, we can understand why they're there, to gradually help us come to a very high level or standard. And even though Srila Prabhupada talks about, you know, spiritual life as a gradual process, looking from the Bhagavatam and see all these different religious practices are being practiced, and look at what Srila Prabhupada gave us, at least for me, I understand that that's not a gradual process. That's a really, really speedy process. That within a very short time, if we stick to these spiritual principles and as against religious principles, then so much more can be achieved. And it's so very rapid. So on one hand, sometimes people may question, well, if Srila Prabhupada has given us the Bhagavatam, and that talks about all these religious practices, and then apparently Srila Prabhupada is giving us something else. Srila Prabhupada is giving us purely spiritual practice, which is a really high cutting edge technology. Why are we using these books as our guide? So these are, sometimes I personally question myself on these things, and one understanding I got from it is that with these spiritual practices, it could be performed in those ages because life was very regulated, even to the point that everyone knows literally when they would die. You don't find young children dying untimely, or you don't find a young man passing or a young woman, but their life goes on, like the entire cycle is there. In the Mahabharata, you have the one story when the Brahmana came knocking on Arjuna's gate and accusing him, said, something is wrong with your management, that my son died before me. That, why is that so? Something is wrong. So immediately Arjuna went, rectified the situation and revived his son. So we don't find nowadays with anyone knocking on Obama's door, you know, so many young children are passing, something is wrong, because that doesn't exist. So in those days, in the Vedic times, everyone was regulated, life was quite structured, and everyone can have a chance to enjoy life, as is discussed, Srila Prabhupada described in the third canto, 3:22-33, the story of the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. There's a really long purport there of enjoying religious life. And it's described that one can enjoy religious life and still achieve spiritual perfection. Because one molds your life, and then at the end, they can fully give up, as Srila Prabhupada describes here, you know, take sannyas. Always not necessarily means a physical dress, but in that renounced mood, both men and women, they can take sannyas and they can follow all these principles to the full extent and they can achieve spiritual perfection. But for us in this day and age, there is no guarantee that we would live for tomorrow. So in these contexts, we have to understand how our situation is different and how to apply these principles into our life and how not to apply some of these principles, which is not applicable. Sometimes we get confused with that. Well, okay, this is there, so why can't I practice some? But it's important that we understand how to be swan-like. The devotee is described as Paramahamsa, being like a swan, to pick the milk out of the water. So these principles, which are very heavy, as you know, as in this part of the Bhagavatam, I personally just be quite scared whenever I'm reading these parts of the Bhagavatam and to try to see what my situation is and where I have to be, how to fit, and more so how to sit here and speak on such a topic. Out of all other topics, I was asked to speak here today. So anyway, I would stop here, and if anyone has any comments or questions, Sri Ram Prabhu.
So you were talking about religious principles and spiritual principles. It seems that what I'm understanding from you is that religious principles are like sub-principles. But I think that they are important because they're like, you know, they're dharmic principles, they're duties. And even though it might not be clearly mentioned by Srila Prabhupada or whatever, but they are essential to a great degree to mold us to become proper devotees. You know, they're there.
Yeah.
See? But it's not that you you try to focus on those more than the main principles, but they are essential also.
Yes, so I did mention that you know they are essential, that they are like they bring about the foundation. You know, they can bring about the foundation, but we shouldn't take that if one builds a foundation of his home, then his home is finished building. So it's essential, but it's not the highest principle. There are principles higher than that. So that's the point that I was making regarding religious principles. Yeah, Madam Mohan Prabhu?
That quote that you mentioned there, that Prabhupada uses as almost all those same words in another place where he said licit or illicit, there's not much difference. And then he had one more part he put after that. He says volumes of miseries ensue. So I was thinking that's a realization that can be experienced on this plane, but it only gives renunciation and the mode of passion. Because if you give up something because it's just troublesome, so it doesn't really have the sustaining power of the Paramdrisva Navardhante, but it may give intelligence to avoid a situation.
Yeah, that's why if you check, Srila Prabhupada never really emphasized reading his books. Sometimes he would, you know, sometimes he would mention reading his books, but he never really emphasized. What he emphasized, study my books. There is a gulf of difference. Yeah, he always emphasized to study his books so that we can understand these principles and how it molds our lives together. Anyone else? So, Mata Jupiter. She'll come in.
Hare Krishna. I appreciate you distinguishing between hearing about these principles in the scriptures and then also applying them to our life, and also the purification needed to follow the regulative principles. And I was just wondering if you could confirm that, like, the bridge between the principles that we hear and then applying them to our life, like, I feel like the two bridges are chanting the Maha Mantra, number one, and number two, following the order of the spiritual master. I was just wondering if you could confirm that. That's sort of like how to apply these principles that we hear to our own life.
Yeah, well, that's what I was, I didn't mention in clear words, but that's what I was describing with looking at these religious principles stated in the Bhagavatam and what we have now as given by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. That for us to bridge these principles, especially coming from a Kali Yuga background where our culture was never encompassed by these principles. Some of us do, most of us don't. But by following the orders of the spiritual master, then everything comes together. Like Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, he was giving all these religious principles. Then in the fourth chapter, he didn't do it in the beginning, the very first verse. In the fourth chapter, then he mentioned to Arjuna, Tat vidi prani patena, paripashnena sevaya, upadekse antite gyanam ganina stata darshana. I just learned the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Render service unto him submissively. And the spiritual master can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So this is the escalated process that we have, that rather than going through all these systems and these religious practices and brings one, then we can take, like Srila Prabhupada describes, the Vedic scriptures, the Vedic practices are like walking up the stairs, but Krishna consciousness is taking the elevator where you can shoot right up. So for us to shoot right up, we also have to be qualified to do that. As we can see within our Krishna consciousness movement, all these very strong principles and the highest standard of cultural practice, not religious practice, but cultural practices, spiritual practices are there, but not all of us are able to take full advantage and get up to that level. If not, all of us would have been so much involved and so much qualified and so much be involved in preaching and expand the same way as Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. So that's the essence there, is to follow the orders of spiritual master, which is basically chanting Hare Krishna and follow the four regulative principles. So yes, it's there. Krishna Keshava Prabhu?
I was just thinking, just listening to the last, that there are so many principles to follow. In fact, one time Srila Prabhupada told Allen Ginsberg, when he was talking about so many things to follow, he said, if I tell you how many principles there are, you will faint. So if someone wants to, let's say he's not able to follow everything, and he wants to follow one principle, the best principle, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a description, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said the most important principle given by the spiritual master is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The most important principle given by the spiritual master is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But in addition to that, now, so if you chant that, what would happen? It is said that by chanting Hare Krishna, all the sins are, sarva papa vinashanam and so many things, and then you can associate with devotees, which is another principle. You can read the Bhagavatam, you can live in a holy place, and you can worship the deity. So all these principles are there, but there are certain principles that are very important, and Srila Prabhupada has given us these five main principles in the morning program, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, and so forth, Sadhu Sangha, which is sadhu sangha, associate with devotees, nam kirtan, to chant the holy names, Bhagavat Shravan, listen to the Bhagavatam, Mathura Vas, living in a holy place like Mathura, and worshipping the deity. And these all five are there in the morning program. So if one attends the morning program, and that's why Srila Prabhupada was very adamant and very serious about everyone following the morning program, because that's where you can get your strength to follow all the other principles that are there. Hare Krishna.
So, yeah, the principle of what Srila Prabhupada talks about, most important instruction, is to chant Hare Krishna. That's what we all propagate when we go to do festivals and programs or Sankirtan. That's the very first thing that we try to get someone to understand. And then we bring them into the association of devotees and into the morning program and carry on like what you described. So these are all part of the process, and it's a part of rectifying our consciousness by these practices, so then we can be able to appreciate. So because if we don't chant, then our minds and our heart will not change. And if we have the same demoniac qualities, we will not be able to appreciate the morning program, we will not be able to appreciate the association of devotees, we will not be able to appreciate the worship of the deity, or, you know, all these principles. So chanting Hare Krishna is most important. Then we have all these other backup, because that's what cleanses the heart. Chanting of the Lord's holy name is what cleanses the heart. And doing it in the association of devotees, then it's like you're surcharging the entire atmosphere. It's like you kindle a small lamp in the center, and then you go by the door, all the doors, and you start pouring more gas into the oxygen, then the whole thing just blows right up. So the association of devotees is like that. It gives you very, very strong atmosphere to work in. I think, did this devotee had a question next to you? You had a question? Okay. Sorry, what's your name, Prabhu?
Prajapati.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, sir, very much. I just wanted to mention that, you know, you were saying about the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityaja. So at the beginning, so Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. And the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Projitakayata Votra, is to kick out all these materialistic religion.
Right.
So sub-religious principles gradually purify people. Religious principles can bring them up to the mode of goodness. Maybe spiritual principles can bring them to sudha-sattva, purified goodness. And then the devotional principles purify us further, so we can be in a position to develop love of God, which is the highest perfection.
Yes, so all those are there for us to, you know, understand. And that's why it's important that we have these discussions, these forums. Not only, you know, helps me more than I think it helped you, because I'm speaking about it, I learn so much more. Madam Prabhu?
I was just, what you were talking about, the progression now, so I was just going to put in the honorable mention for the 10 offenses, that's a very essential item that's always, at least it always used to be during a time of initiation, they always had the lecture was on the 10 offenses, because even though you, and it's authorized to begin the process of devotional service with many impurities, that by the chanting of the Hare Krishna that you become free from those. And of course, as you pointed out, the four regulated principles are guideposts, but the real tension builds up right on the 10 offenses, to see if you're committing any of the 10 offenses. And then, because Prabhupada would always say chant 16 rounds without offenses. So that's also a very critical observation to make sure you're not committing the offenses, and take the perspective on that.
Yeah, that's how Srila Prabhupada described it. You know, we should all be students, because this is it's an educational institution that we're living in, this Krishna consciousness movement. It's an institution, so we have to study all these principles and we have to learn to apply them. And as we get more association of devotees and get deeper and deeper involved, then we can understand them more and more. And by the association of devotees, we can learn how to apply and thus we can be able to understand the offenses. Like initially, you know, we know that it's an offense to chant the holy names and commit sinful activities. But when we go out there, we don't tell someone, well, okay, you have to follow these regulative principles and then chant Hare Krishna. We just, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, whatever you're doing. And gradually we can be able to understand. As we get closer, then we can be able to understand these. So anyway, I would end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.